Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And hello again, everybody. It's the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. We got sports junkies from all over North America. Reporters today coming from Chicago, Phoenix, Toronto, and more. They live, eat, sleep, breathe it. NFL, Major League Baseball, all coming at you on the Weekend Sports Report. We'll go to Chicago after our first break and talk with Dan Jiggetts. And he's a longtime Chicago sportscaster, one-time Chicago Bear. We'll get with him. We'll also hear from John Poulter in Toronto. The Blue Jays clinch their division, the AL East, and move on into the pennant chase. And John will talk about that and the rest of Major League Baseball when we bring him on later in the show. Jeff Rich will join us from Phoenix, and we'll talk about the Arizona Cardinals and more. Cardinals are hot this year. Defense looks good. And we'll talk with Jeff Rich about that. Good game Thursday night. Baltimore loses to Pittsburgh. Excuse me, beats Pittsburgh in overtime. Steelers kind of had that game, but the Ravens came back. You have to give credit to Joe Flacco in the clutch. And also their field goal kicker, 52-yarder, as overtime ends and Pittsburgh goes down to a loss. Now the Packers this week, the 49ers in San Francisco. They always have trouble with that team, but things might be different this year. San Francisco got clocked last week at the hands of the Cardinals, and Green Bay goes in. That's a late afternoon game on Sunday. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's up there in years now. This is his 11th year in the league. But he talks about his career right now and staying fit as he grows older.
It's a good start. You know, you hope for opportunities like we've had against good defenses to play well. We've started off fast. You know, I think as I've talked about in the offseason, you know, the last few years you get older in the league and you start to realize how you can best put yourself in a position to be successful on Sundays. And it's about managing your energy, your preparation, the influences that are in your life, positive and negative, being smart about your interactions and trying to give yourself the best advantage through, you know, body maintenance stuff and your week-to-week preparation to go out there and play well. You know, I think that, you know, we've beaten a lot of teams around here Monday through Saturday. And I think when individuals start working on their bodies and thinking about the things that they're thinking about as they go through their preparation, the influences that people can have on them, both positively and negatively, and cutting out the negative ones, focusing on the positive things that help you become a better player and don't get in the way of your work, that's how you can have a good start to the season. We got to keep it going.
Now, Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb is a touchdown machine these days, and he comments on his chemistry with quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
No, obviously, them being able to pick up on those free plays, them being able to pick up the blitzes or whatever is going on up front, and us being able to break free downfield, and it's pretty much just getting in Aaron's vision and getting open. We've been doing it here for a while. You know, ever since I've been here, we've been able to do it. You know, we've been hitting a lot early on this season, and hopefully we can keep it going. Yeah, we do it on the road all the time. No, nothing will change. We're still going to do what we do and try to accomplish some of those things.
Julius Peppers now, he's an old man in this league, but he is looking for a Super Bowl ring, and he's in a good situation with the Packers this year as Super Bowl 50 approaches. Let's hear from Peppers on the team's good start.
Honestly, I think every team comes out of training camp feeling good about themselves, but you know, we're at a point right now where we feel like we got a good start. We just got to keep it going and keep, you know, fine-tuning the details. Yeah, we're going to continue to grow. We have to keep growing and keep getting better. But I feel like the chemistry and the way we're gelling at this point in the season is a good thing. We still always look to get better and grow. So, but so far, so good, I think.
Okay, so Green Bay in San Francisco against the 49ers this week. The Bears have the Raiders at home, and we'll talk about it in our next segment. Steve Leventhal went to Hallis Hall this week, and we have audio from John Fox and more from the Chicago Bears and Dan Jiggetts when we return on the Weekend Sports Report.
Before too long, you'll be thinking about building that first fire of the season in your fireplace. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about being sure that it's safe right after this.
When it comes to construction adhesive, professional contractors know what matters most. Dependability, strength, and quick dry time. Introducing new Tight Bond Fast Set polyurethane construction adhesive. It builds strength faster than other polyurethane adhesives. Use it to bond dozens of materials in any construction, remodeling, or home repair project. Tight Bond Fast Set. It works for the pros. It'll work for you. For more information, visit tightbond.com or see them on Facebook.
One of the most ignored parts of your home is the chimney, and that can mean disaster for your family. Now is the time to have your chimney inspected by a certified chimney sweep. If it's dirty, have it cleaned. Creosote buildup on the interior walls of a chimney is an invitation to a fire. The inspector will also check the exterior structure and make recommendations if repairs or improvements may be needed. For example, you may need to add a chimney cap to prevent water damage or to keep animals and birds out of the flue. Once the chimney and fireplace pass inspection, it's your responsibility to use them safely. Make sure the damper is open. Don't use petroleum products to start a fire and never leave one unattended. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hi there, this is Chris Berman from ESPN. Hey, Packer Dave, I know you know about the frozen tundra, but about the rest of football, do a little boning up, eh?
I've been boning up, and what I've found is that the Bears need a win this week at Soldier Field, and we'll talk about it with Dan Jiggetts from Comcast Sports Network coming up. Let's bring in Steve Leventhal. He went to Hallis Hall this week and got some midweek audio and talked with some of his friends in the media there, and you're able to get Dan to twist his arm to come on the show, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was surprisingly upbeat there. And, you know, I've had conversations with Dan before. And, you know, talking about the good old days, one of the guys has been around since we've been around.
All right. Well, very good. So let's bring him on. Here's the captain of the Harvard 1975 football team and led them to the Ivy League championship and then a Chicago Bear drafted in the 1976 draft, played through 82. And on the offensive line for the Chicago Bears. Now with Comcast Sports, Dan Jiggetts. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, good to have you. So you played against guys like Mike Butler and Ezra Johnson and some of those guys back
Who?
In the day. Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Who? You see, Steve knows very little about football, Dan. Image he may portray at the Bears media days there. He knows very little. But
no, I'm more like Leroy Jordan and Fran Tarkenton, and that's my vintage.
You mean you don't remember guys like Dave Roller?
Dave Roller, I remember. He used to do a little dance after he would get a sack.
That's exactly right. Remember that?
Remember that? But Mike Butler and Ezra Johnson, those were Pro Bowl defensive linemen. And
yeah, there's some. I tell you one thing. You know, maybe the team, you know, at certain times wasn't. Wasn't what everybody had hoped it would be, much like the Bears are right now. You know, there were always some individuals there who were exceptional football players.
Well, sure. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And, you know, and that was part of, you know, what was going on in terms of the rivalry. You know, it seems like it goes in waves where, you know, one team will be up for a while and then the other one will come back and be the strong one for, you know, the better part of a decade or whatever, and that's what makes it so fascinating. And all that time, though, doesn't make any difference because you look at the records, then the record's probably about 500 because everybody knows each other so well.
Yeah, but here we are 35 years later talking about it, right?
Exactly, and that's part of the fun. I mean, it's, yeah. That's what keeps it interesting, and you know, I don't care if you're playing up in Green Bay or down here in Chicago, it's always going to be the same kind of thing. Everybody's, you know, got their little piece of the pie, and they want to make sure that they keep it.
Yeah, it's a great rivalry, and back then, the Packers defensively, things were tough for them. They gave up a lot of yards, but you're right. They had outstanding players like Mike Douglas at linebacker, John Anderson at linebacker.
Mm-hmm. And then that played for a long time.
Yeah, really good defensive backfield, too, there with Willie Buchanan for quite a few years, and Mike McCoy, Johnny Gray, some of those guys back there. So it's fun talking about it. But now let's move on to the modern-day Chicago Bears. They've got the Raiders in town this week. And first off, any indication if Jay Cutler or Alshon Jeffrey are playing?
You know, not yet, but, you know, when Jay's practicing and he's out jogging and whatnot, I have to assume that, you know, he'd have to be really bad off not to play. And so I just assume that he's going to play and just see where it goes. I think he's going to be very careful about it, but I think he's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, Dan's right. You know, whatever people say about Jay and his personality, he's not a quitter. He'll get out there if he's got to, you know, bandage up and play with a cast or whatever he has to do. If he's able, he'll be out there.
Okay. Well, you know, they're competitive if they've got Matt Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Cutler. They've got a shot. You know, Jimmy Clausen has just not shown anything anywhere.
Well, I thought he did during the course of preseason. Frankly, he did exactly what he was supposed to do during preseason. And that includes throwing the ball a little bit more than they allowed him to the other day. And that's understandable considering where they are with the wide receiver group. Keep in mind, when he was playing in preseason, he was playing with that group of receivers that he's playing with right now. So he didn't have the luxury, if you will, of having Alshon Jeffrey out there healthy or Kevin White, I think that's the guy's name, the number one pick. Haven't seen him yet, just saying. But you know, yeah, you'd like to have that group of special receivers and, you know, and Eddie Royal completely healthy. But it hasn't happened so far, so you know, you just have to go with what you got, man. You got an outstanding tight end in Martellus Bennett, so you want to make sure you use him. And, of course, Matt Forte, and they've been pounding the football, so hopefully that'll continue against the Raiders.
All right, Dan Jiggets with us from Comcast Sports in Chicago, a longtime sportscaster in the market. Let's talk about the defensive moves. Jared Allen is traded to the Panthers and not comfortable in that 3-4 defense. Discuss that. Did that surprise you? It did not surprise me.
It didn't surprise me. You know, you saw him trying to, you know, I'll give it to Jared. For a guy who has been around 11, 12 years, has had the success that he's had doing what he did, to try and change at this point in his career, I give him a lot of credit for doing that. And he gave it everything he had. It wasn't working for him, and it wasn't working too well for the Bears. So they said, mutually, you know, if we can find somewhere to place you, we will do that. And they accomplished that. And I really do believe them when I said it was something that worked out well for both sides.
All right. Tough shutout against Seattle last week.
Brutal.
What's your thought on this Oakland game? I mean, if they lose this one at home, we've got big trouble for the rest of the year. That's the way
I see it.
Yeah,
but, you know, I've taken a different approach to this season. And, you know, folks up there in Green Bay have gone through it before. They understand what this is all about. It's one of those seasons where you're looking to see if you can find development and progress in your football team week to week. Because we understand there's a lot of work to do. There's been a lot of damage done in terms of draft choices that are no longer here, or wasted selections, wasted free agent money. So a lot of that has to be corrected, and a lot of that has to be, that means time. You can't do it all in one season or one off season. So that's the situation that we're in. So you just look to see how the coaches develop the talent they got. Do they find the best in those guys and use it to the best of their abilities? And that's what's got to entertain us, I'm afraid, this season.
Now, you are such a positive guy, Dan. If they're having seasons like this in Green Bay, somebody pay the price.
Well, somebody already paid the price.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
There'll be a lot of worried farm animals and spouses about getting, you know.
All right, quiet.
But no, I will tell you that one draft choice that has been pretty good is Kyle Long. That's worked out really nicely for the Bears.
It sure has. And, you know, Kyle's, they moved him around that offensive line. And it's one of those situations where, you know, you knew you had a great athlete and you just didn't know, you know, how good he could be and in different positions. And you knew, I just had a really good feeling about him moving to right tackle. I didn't want to see them move him to left tackle. I think that's an issue and that's a problem right now for him. But right tackle, we kind of moved in there and it's kind of settled in. And much like, you know, you guys have an offensive line up there where the guys are not necessarily, you know, right away stars. They're guys that have developed themselves into some pretty doggone good football players. And that's why, you know, we have a lot of hope for the future with Kyle.
All right, Dan Jiggetts with us, Comcast Sports Network. See, leave it to Steve. You have a sports segment, and somehow farm animals and spousal abuse comes up. Leave it to Steve. That's why he doesn't have his own show, Dan. Okay.
That's only one of many reasons.
Okay, now, Dan, tell us about what you do there in Chicago now.
Well, you know, basically I do just we were talking about with Comcast Sportsnet. We cover the Bears from top to bottom. Mondays we'll do a recap of the previous week's ball game. On Wednesdays and Thursdays we do the defense and the offense, respectively. And then Sunday or game day we do a pregame show that's an hour long and a postgame show that's an hour and a half long. So that keeps us pretty busy most of the time.
Okay. And just wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of people in Chicago have probably heard you talk about it, but this show is international, Dan. I mean, we have listeners all over the world.
Kazakhstan.
Wow. Don't we, Steve?
Kazakhstan. Taipei. Auckland. Okay.
What was it like being a teammate of Walter Payton?
It was a great honor and privilege. And it was even more of an honor and privilege to be a friend of his. You know what? It was a unique and special time, I think, to be playing here. And we're just all kind of thankful that we had the chance to you know, have Walter in our lives and we in his. We will never forget him. He was a special person, man.
All right. Dan Jiggetts, Comcast Sports Chicago. Thanks very much for coming on the show, and hopefully we have you again sometime this season.
Okay, great, guys. Take care.
All right, take care. Steve was at Hallis Hall and got Bears audio for the midweek press conferences there. Coach John Fox discusses the Raiders coming to town. Previews that. Here's John Fox.
They've added some skilled guys, you know, the running back position, both at the wideout. You know, they had a young quarterback in Carr a year ago. I think they've surrounded them with some skills positions, and particularly receivers. They went out in free agency and got a very, very good center. You know, that's usually kind of the center point of your offensive line. So, you know, defensively, they went out and got, you know, Alden Smith, who, you know, they had Khalil Mack already, who's a good young player, dynamic guy. And, you know, so they've got two bookends as far as pass rushers in their defense. Just off the top of my head, that's kind of what I see.
All right, John Fox. Alden Smith, former 49er, got in all kinds of trouble, guns and DWIs and crazy stuff, and now he's on the Raiders, of course. Appropriate team to go to. And then, Steve, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, you know, having a tough time so far this year, but having a young Raiders quarterback coming into town, maybe it's a good week for him.
Well, except that Carr's pretty talented, and that's one of the things that was discussed this week. Even if it doesn't necessarily show up, well, he'll talk about Carr.
You know, these guys are ranked high. I know it's only three games, but they're ranked high in almost every offensive category. They got a really good young quarterback who's got a quick release and has good knowledge of their passing game. They got really good receivers, led by Cooper and Crabtree, and they got good tight ends. They got speed with Smith that comes in. They got a lot of pieces to their offense. You know, it's not just Carr and Cooper. They got a lot of good pieces, and they've been able to spread the wealth around both in the running game and the passing game, and they're a tough assignment right now.
Now, linebacker Lamar Houston, who used to play for the Raiders, talks about the departure of Jared Allen here.
I appreciate Jared being here and what he's taught us while he was here. You know, we have a lot of respect for that guy, and you know, he's a future Hall of Famer. But as far as opportunities, I look at it as more opportunities. You know, when you get your chance, it's an opportunity. So right now I'm just thinking about working to get better along with the rest of the people in our room. You know, they're an explosive offense, and they have three great young players who are carrying the offense right now, and they're winning ball games. It's a different team than when I was there. You got to tip your hat to them. They look like they work harder, and they look like they execute a lot better than what I'm used to seeing.
And defensive back Antrell Roll talks about Jared Allen moving on.
You're going to find out if guys want to go out there and fight as if, you know, we're 3-0. You're going to find out if guys want to put it in the tank. And, you know, it's our job as a team to make sure we stay upbeat, make sure we stay aboard, and make sure we keep pushing no matter what takes place. I think that's the way it should be with everyone. I think everyone should hold themselves accountable. Week-to-week performance based, you know, it's a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. And, you know, you have to strive for perfection each and every week. You can never be complacent as a player.
Now let's bring in from the Sports Byline USA radio network at sportsbyline.com. You can hear him 11 a.m. Sunday mornings, 11 to 1 Eastern Time, 8 to 10 Pacific Time at sportsbyline.com. Good radio show, and also the Suits and Laterals podcast at suitsandlaterals.com. We bring in Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on today.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Steve. Glad to be here.
How's everything over at Lawsuits and Laterals?
Lawsuits and Laterals. You know, we talked about the games in London this week. We talked about the teams that are off the 3-0 starts. And I'd say things are going pretty well. More people need to download and subscribe to the podcast over the Four Lights FM podcast network. And they can get that, as Dave said, at suitsandlaterals.com.
Okay, well, you know, we've got the Bears and the Raiders, and we have the Packers and the 49ers. Real quickly, you know, Green Bay's had a lot of trouble with San Francisco over the past 4 years or so, but seems like a different story there now. Your thoughts on that game?
Well, it's a different story in San Francisco, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like he's letting up, even though this pro football focus site, I'm not sure if you guys heard about this, graded Aaron Rodgers' performance on Monday night against the Chiefs as average. I don't think that passes the eyeball test. I thought that he looked phenomenal, and I didn't need John Gruden to co-sign on his performance on Monday night. I think it's a different story with the 49ers this year. You know, they came out emotional playing for Jim Tomsula in week one against the Vikings, but they regressed to what everybody expected them to be over the last 2 weeks.
Well, you should know that Aaron Rodgers was one of the reasons that my buddy Mike lost in his fantasy football this week in the FanDuel, because people who had Rodgers, he lit him up, at least for fantasy purposes.
Well,
that's how it works. You know what? Green Bay's not running. You know, Green Bay's not running the ball into the end zone. They're throwing the ball inside the 5 yard line. So that's going to happen when you play fantasy football.
I think so far this year, a 138 plus quarterback rating at Lambeau Field for Aaron Rodgers. So he's off to a strong start. But you think the 49ers, you know, your Cardinals took him apart last week. Do they get back on track? Or, you know, we just have so much trouble with Colin Kaepernick. He runs for 200 yards every time he plays Green Bay.
I don't think that's going to happen anymore. I think the departure of Frank Gore hasn't been fulfilled by Carlos Hyde and the other backs that they have there in San Francisco. I think that you could force Kaepernick to throw the ball. And, you know, let's face it, that Pittsburgh team that they got destroyed by in week two is not a very good football team. And we saw that on Monday night. I mean, obviously they're worse without Ben, or we saw that on Thursday night. Obviously they're a worse team without Ben Roethlisberger, but on the whole, that Pittsburgh team's not very good, and they shouldn't have shut down a guy like Colin Kaepernick if he actually is the guy that they're going to try to, you know, get back to the Super Bowl with there in San Francisco.
All right, Jeff Rich with us. Now, let's look at your Arizona Cardinals, talking about them a bit. Larry Fitzgerald having a great season so far. With Carson Palmer behind center, they do very well. Let's hear from Larry Fitzgerald. They play the Rams this week.
Well, the Rams, you know, they're the most talented defense, you know, in the league, I believe. I mean, you look at their personnel. I mean, Brockers and Donald and Long and Quinn, and I mean, all these first-round picks. I mean, they got Mark Barron, another first-round pick. You know, T.J. McDonald, I believe, is on the verge of being, you know, a Pro Bowl player. I mean, it's got a plethora of talent defensively. They play hard, play with a chip on their shoulder. You know, so we know it's going to be a very physical game, but, you know, that's our brand of football, too, so it's going to be a great matchup.
Okay, and Jeff, you're in Arizona. The Cardinals are hot.
Well, first of all, I love how they're my Cardinals now, but you know, Larry Fitzgerald's absolutely right. That Rams defense is really you know, a force to be reckoned with. That Aaron Donald, man, he's just such a special player. A lot of people saw that in him coming out of Pitt. The St. Louis Rams were lucky to have him fall that far into the first round of them. I think that he was like the 16th pick, and you got to keep Carson Palmer upright. That's the crux of the Arizona Cardinals' entire season. Now, as far as Fitzgerald's concerned, a lot of people saw him falling off, like they were going to start going to Michael Floyd as their number one. I think it's pretty obvious that he was dealing with injury in the 2014 season, and that's why everybody kind of wrote him off. But, man, he's still such a special player. Hall of Famer, to be sure.
All right, around the NFC North this week, it's Denver and Minnesota, and Denver quarterback Peyton Manning comments on Minnesota's defense.
They jump out on film. I'm just obviously studying their defense, and good at all three levels, right? Their front, their linebackers, and their secondary, playing well together, communicating a lot. You know, it's complimenting their team as well. You know, not giving up many points, and just playing really good football. It's not easy. Never has been easy, and like I said, we're continuing to work. Got some lot of changes and new players and new guys doing different things, and we're just trying to look for a little bit of improvement each week. And we all want to do our jobs, you know, to help our team win each week. But it doesn't get any easier when the teams that you're playing against. But we continue to try to see what works best for the players that we have playing, and if we can keep improving and win games at the same time, that's what we've talked about earlier. That's a real positive.
That game in Denver, late afternoon game, and Minnesota goes in at 2-1, Denver at 3-0. Do you like the Vikings now? They look pretty good with Adrian Peterson back and Teddy Bridgewater playing steady.
You know, I mentioned that Monday night game early in the season, you know, the first week of the season in San Francisco, and that game just proves to be more and more of an outlier. They really smacked the San Diego Chargers around last week. Mike Zimmer, brilliant defensive mind coming out of Cincinnati. Looks like he's kind of got things going there, especially if the offense keeps clicking in Minnesota. Denver, a lot to prove. You know, they haven't really been in that much danger of losing except against the Chiefs. But what they did against Detroit wasn't overly impressive. Denver's got to figure out how to run the football. This ridiculous pass-to-run ratio isn't going to work. And they've got the right guy there to put it together. I think that the difference between the Shanahan Broncos and the present-day Kubiak Broncos is that the players on the team haven't bought into the system, and I think that starts with number 18.
Okay, and I've got this new little toy this Monday night. It is the Lions.
Where's Tickle Me Elmo?
Can you hear?
I can hear it.
Sounds like a drunk hedgehog.
Hear that? It's the Lions at the... Yeah, okay. Well, this toy was going to go to Goodwill, but I intercepted it before my wife let it leave the house. So Detroit, let's hear from Jim Caldwell right now. They're 0-3. They got to fix a lot of things. Here's Caldwell.
It takes work. You know, it doesn't come easy all the time, particularly when it's not just one issue. There's a number of different things that are going on, and there's a number of different people that are involved in that. And so anytime that happens, it's multiple. You got to try to, you know, narrow it down, focus on those things you can get corrected and move forward. And you can't correct them all in one day. And it just takes time. It takes a little time. Now, I have patience, but I don't have a lot of time, and that's the real key here.
Okay. Wow, okay. Anyway, so
drunk hedgehog, ain't no lion.
You've got Detroit in Seattle. Seattle at home against the Bears last week pitches a shutout. Now Detroit goes in. I don't think the prospects are that good for the Lions either, Jeff.
Do you have a toy sea chicken that we can be sampled here?
No, somewhere he's got a Tickle Me Elmo.
All right. So the Seahawks, they pitched a shutout against the Bears, but yeah, that was more about the Bears. I think that they were the first team in a long time, if not in all of NFL history, to punt on every single possession that they had.
Ouch.
The Seahawks just, they're going to come around. They're a 1-2 team. They're a little bit better than their record. I think it's more reflective of their schedule to date. But Monday night at False Start Field, Central League Field there in Seattle, where they've just been awesome. There's just no way that Jim Caldwell, as much as he tries to right the ship, I thought they played decently against Denver, but they let him get away with it. I think that Seahawks defense is going to step up. I think that the there's just no way the Seahawks drop a primetime game at home against a team with the caliber of the Detroit Lions. And with the Baltimore Ravens win on Thursday night, I think that they might be sitting come Tuesday morning as the only 0-4 team in the NFL.
Catch them this Sunday morning, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sports Byline USA. And you can also hear him on the Suits and Laterals podcast. That's suitsandlaterals.com. Jeff, we're going to do a couple minutes of college football.
You know, we're finally getting into conference play, so there's some good games. Of course, last week we talked about Arizona State, and you were absolutely right. USC came in and just pummeled them. UCLA also had their way with Arizona.
It's funny. Nobody's interested in Pac-12 football. Did you catch that? You know, as big a deal as it was here in Arizona, down in Tucson, that they got the college game day, they got the game of the week, they got the primetime announcers. What they also got was the lowest rated 8 o'clock game in the history of ABC college football. You know, I think that we saw that, you know, both the Arizona teams were pretenders. UCLA, that's a team that, you know, that's a team that could represent the Pac-12 in the college football playoff, especially with the fact that Oregon doesn't seem to be on the same level that they've been over the last 5 to 7 years.
Absolutely. But let's look at where the big mad, a lot of them are in the SEC. And Alabama goes into between the hedges in Athens to play Georgia. That should be a great game.
You know, I lived in Athens, Georgia for a while, so I got a little bit of a, you know, Georgia bulldog that runs through my veins here. You know, it's been a long time since Georgia beat Alabama in a game where both teams were ranked. Good quarterback play at Georgia, but, you know, Mark Richt keeps finding these running backs. He loses Todd Gurley. I mean, remember when Gurley and Keith Marshall were both freshmen? I mean, it was like 1-1A, and now Marshall finds himself like fourth on that depth chart there, for Georgia. Alabama, you know, they got to bounce back. They still got to bounce back from that old Miss loss, you know, beating Louisiana Lafayette or Louisiana Monroe, whoever they played, doesn't show it. I think Alabama's a lot more brand name and reputation than they are any kind of substance on the football field thus far.
Okay, and lastly, probably the biggest game of the weekend is Notre Dame. Ranked number 6 goes into Death Valley to play Clemson, which is ranked 12. That should be a great game.
You know, hopefully the weather doesn't destroy integrity of the quality of this football game. I think that the bad weather definitely favors Notre Dame. It gives Kaiser a little bit of a break. You let Notre Dame run the football. I know that they're without their number one guy, but Clemson's had a lot to prove since Jameis Winston came in there his freshman year and just curb stomped them. So, you know, this Notre Dame ACC partnership is really making for some intriguing games. I expect Notre Dame to get away with it again, but Clemson playing there in Death Valley at night, you know, it's in hurricane conditions, it's going to be interesting. Expect a low scoring game. Expect Notre Dame to be able to run the football and to stop Clemson on the defensive side of the ball.
I know Maryland already moved their starting time up just to avoid that mess, but they may get lucky because the hurricane is supposed to, as we record the show, bypass the coast, just whatever's left over from the storm that's ravishing it right now.
When we're talking about football games, there's people that are lying in the wake of this potential devastating storm. I want to be sensitive to everybody there on the East Coast. Hope everybody stays safe and enjoy the football games if you can.
Exactly, and also the wildlife have to be careful too.
Give it up, Dave.
Jeff, thanks very much for coming on, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend. All right, take care.
Definitely look forward to it.
Do you really? Or are you just saying
that? He lives for this. What are you talking about?
All right. Well, it's a howling good time here on the program. And we'll be back with the professor of sports, John Poulter, after this Major League Baseball on the Weekend Sports Report.
Autumn is the perfect time of the year to shield your deck against the damage of winter snow and cold. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about protecting your deck for the coming winter right after this.
Marrying the right trim and moldings to your siding can do amazing things for the character and curb appeal of your home. And if it's from Royal Building Products, that character will last with minimal maintenance. Royal Cellular PVC Trim Board, decorative moldings, and door and window surrounds help you finish the design statement you started with your siding. They come in a range of styles from understated to ornate, with no rotting, warping, or splitting. Learn more at royalbuildingproducts.com.
Now is the time to protect your wood deck while the weather is still fairly mild. Before you can protect it, though, you'll need to make sure you clean it well so that the stain or sealer will have a better chance to soak into the wood. A commercial deck cleaner or a mixture of bleach, detergent, and water will do the trick. After the deck is dried for at least 24 hours, you can apply the sealer or the stain. A pump-up garden sprayer works well for thin sealers, while a roller may be better for the thicker stains. In either case, apply a small amount and then backbrush that area before applying more elsewhere. This process forces the sealant down into the pores of the wood to protect it from the long winter ahead. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-262-9159. Again, that's 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159. 800-262-9159.
We're back on the Weekend Sports Report. Packer Dave along with Steve Leventhal. And remember, we promote certain music websites on this show. Some of them actually carrying our program throughout the week, our sports show here, the Weekend Sports Report. But they're primarily music. One is ZCOM Radio, zcomradio.com. And if you like classic rock and even 50s, 60s, oldies, they have a channel for that. So check that out, zcomradio.com. Also, softhits.net. Softhits.net. That's for your Carole King and your Taylor.
What's Soft Hits? Who's Soft Hits?
Softhits.net, Steve. Okay. And then also, internetfm.com. Steve runs that one. A lot of good music channels up there. A lot of good classic rock channels up there.
Classic rock, and oldies, jazz.
And our friends at Mile High Radio, who also carry this program, and throughout most of the week, their music, but milehighradio.com, good music originating from Colorado, the Mile High, Denver, the Mile High City.
So welcome to plugyourbusiness.com.
Check those out. And now we bring in from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for Major League Sports discussion here, and what a better place to go to than Toronto right now. John Poulter, our professor of sports. John, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Dave. Great to join you, and great to join you as well, Steve.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, now let's get right to it. Toronto clinches the AL East this week. That's big news in the big city of Toronto, the huge metro area of Toronto, and, of course, all of Canada, because they're the only Major League Baseball team in Canada, so the whole country roots for them. And haven't had this kind of excitement for about 22 years or so.
That's exactly right. The last time we enjoyed this type of fun and success with the baseball team was 1993. And Joe Carter with his bottom of the ninth home run off Mitch Williams and Tom Cheek's famous call, touch 'em all, Joe, you'll never hit another home run that's as good as that.
The wild thing.
That wild thing, yeah, it was kind of the beginning of the end of him, and it was kind of funny because, of course, he was primarily the Phillies' closer, and after that episode with Mr. Carter, he was known around Toronto for about 5 years as the opener because he had basically let us in the door. So it's great to see the Blue Jays winning again. It's great to see the crowds back at the ballpark. They've been sold out pretty much every game for, I'm going to say, about the last 2 months now. They've been playing great baseball. They were a little flat the last two games in Baltimore after they clinched, which was a little disappointing. the second game of the doubleheader on Wednesday was
it's called
the
hangover.
It was the Buffalo Bisons with R.A. Dickey pitching, and it was a tight game until Dickey left after five, and then the roof fell in and the walls fell down, and next thing you know, they lost, and they lost a rain marathon yesterday. So they've now let Kansas City catch them for first place overall. The Blue Jays do hold the tie because they took the seven-game series with the Royals 4 out of 7, but they got to play a little bit better than that if they want to take that first spot.
Well, yeah, and because, of course, Kansas City came in and helped themselves a couple servings of the hapless White Sox.
Although that was kind of an odd series. The Sportsnet Ontario network was carrying some of those games, especially at the end of the games, because of the one-hour time difference between Baltimore, where the Blue Jays were playing, and Chicago, being Central Time. So we got to see about the last two or three innings of each of those games, and it just looked to me like there was a lot of errors being made and just guys that didn't really care. And Kansas City looked like they're trying to get their act back together after coasting for quite some time, being in first place by as many as 10, 12 games as they have been most of the season. So they're down to the short strokes as well. And the next three or four games, or next three games, I guess, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, obviously are going to tell in terms of where all these teams rank in terms of postseason rankings and playoff games.
Well, and the only, I mean, other than finding out who gets home field or best record in the AL is, of course, the AL wildcard race to see who's going to make it and who's not, because there's, four teams, actually three teams competing for one spot.
Yeah, the Yankees actually are in now. They've clinched one spot, but Houston, the Angels, and Minnesota are all fighting for that second spot. Houston has it at the moment, and the Angels and Minnesota are one game behind Houston. I believe that Houston still has an outside chance to catch Texas. There's a three-game difference there, but the Rangers won 13 of the 19 games, and I believe that's the first tiebreaker. So effectively, I believe the Rangers have clinched, although mathematically it may show that they can be tied. I think the first tiebreaker would get them in there. So it's going to be very interesting. And of course, what's going to be interesting in the National League is that the Dodgers and the Mets are still tied with the same record. So they're vying this weekend for home field advantage in that series. Pittsburgh and the Cubs still have a chance to take that first wild card spot with a three-game sweep, and Pittsburgh being swept. But I don't see that happening, because Pittsburgh are playing the Reds, and the Reds are kind of hapless right now. I can't see the Reds going into Pittsburgh and winning three games. So there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in Major League Baseball. Cardinals got first place clinched. They will be the number one seed no matter what. And we're going to see some real great games in the postseason in the National League, because the wild card game is going to be Pittsburgh and Chicago, two Central teams. And the winner of that is then going to go up against Central Division champion Cardinals. So lots of great baseball coming up, both on the American League side and the National League side, in the next couple of weeks, Steve.
Yeah, the Cubs get to go up the road to Milwaukee. So if they need to win three straight, that's certainly within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it is. But again, the Pirates are home to Cincinnati, and I look at the record of the Reds, and I have to believe that the Pirates are going to find a way to win at least one of those games, unless they play their reserves. But I just can't believe that the Pirates would want to give up home field advantage at this stage of the season, having played as well as they have all year.
Yeah, I guarantee you the Pirates do not want to come into Wrigley Field to have to play that one-off game.
No, I don't think so. Even though they had the success last weekend with taking 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, Friday night and Saturday afternoon games, I think the Pirates would still rather have the friendly confines of PNC Park in Pittsburgh. And quite frankly, I think they've deserved it, because they've played well, consistently well, all season.
Well, ironically, I'd give the edge to the Pirates if they had to come into Wrigley versus the Cubs if they had to go into PNC.
Yeah, I can't say that I disagree with you. I just think the Pirates are a more consistent ball club. I think they're a more talented ball club, top to bottom. And I still think that Pittsburgh's stars are better stars than the Cubs' stars. The pitching staff's probably fairly easy, fairly equal. But I like you, I would give the Pirates the edge wherever the game was played.
Okay, well, that's enough soccer. Excuse me. That's enough baseball. See, I already got soccer on the brain, and we certainly have got an exciting weekend coming up in the English Premier League. So let's look at that. And, you know, the big games really are all on Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend, I think, for those of us that follow the Premier League. You know, if you want to jump to the Sunday games first, because there's only three of them, Swansea-Tottenham is not really a great rivalry, other than the fact that it's two teams that are fairly close in the table at the present time, and they're both starting to come around. But the two big games in London, Arsenal versus Manchester United, and, of course, the great Liverpool derby, Everton versus Liverpool at Goodison Park in Liverpool. And we talk about that being a derby, but, you know, quite frankly, those two stadiums are so close. There's basically just a public park between the two. And on top of the fact that they're both Liverpool teams and sort of it divides the city in terms of whether you're blue or red, blue being Everton, red being Liverpool, go back 100 and some years and Everton were a founding member of the English League and they used to play their games at Anfield in those days. So there's a real tie between those two teams and doesn't really matter how well or how badly either one of those teams are playing. The games always seem to be close. So that's going to be a great game for the Liverpudlians on Sunday.
So what happens? Do they stagger the schedule so the two of them don't have home games at the same time?
Yeah, pretty much. You may get the odd game where they're both home on the same weekend, the same way that you do with the two Manchester teams. But primarily, if they're both home on the same weekend, they would try and have one home on Saturday, one home on Sunday. The stadiums are, I'm going to say, about a mile and a half apart. They're just across a public park. They're both in the same part of town and in the blue collar district of Liverpool. They're both in neighborhoods as opposed to outside the city. So they've all got their diehard fans. It's great soccer. You've really got to go there to really understand the intensity and the rivalry that's in those kinds of games. And we have the same thing in Manchester with Manchester City and Manchester United. We refer to it as being from the blue side of town or the red side of town. And you've got the same situation in London where you've got probably, I think there's about 14 teams in London the last time I looked. And some of them are very close neighbors, Arsenal and Tottenham, Chelsea and Fulham, Chelsea and Queen's Park Rangers, West Ham and Crystal Palace. They're all sort of very close by, and they're their local rivalries, even though London is such a huge metropolis.
But it is amazing. It's like, imagine there being, you know, 10 professional teams in New York or something like that, because the stadiums they still hold, you know, even the smaller ones hold 20, 30,000 people, right?
Yeah, that's right, Steve. And in terms of the Premier League, I think there was about six London teams that were in the Premier League. They all, of course, play in relatively big stadiums. Certainly the newer stadiums are large. Some of the smaller teams that have had loyal followings for many years, and I'm talking about teams like Millwall, Charlton Athletic, Brentford, they're Watford. They're all teams that have developed a very loyal following from their neighborhood over the years. Many of them still play in relatively small stadiums, but to your point, they're in the 20 to 25,000 range now that all the stadiums are seated. In the days when they were standing in the terraces, I would say that some of those stadiums were probably between 35 and 40,000 people. And for the most part, in their heyday, they were full. But some of those teams now are really struggling to survive because some of the big teams such as Chelsea and Spurs and Arsenal, they're such big items that they tend to take all of the limelight as far as soccer is concerned.
Well, and there's also a really interesting story this year. We really haven't talked about it. And I started to watch a little documentary that they put together on the NBC Sports Channel about Bournemouth, how they were literally almost not only in the bottom of the barrel, they were almost out of business and they've made it all the way. It's like the total Cinderella story.
That's exactly right. I believe it was 2009. They were in administration, which is the equivalent of
bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy Chapter 11 in the United States and CCAA here in Canada. And they were at the point where they were holding community bake sales and raffle 50-50 tickets and so on just to actually survive with professional soccer. They were very, very close to going down into what is the conference, which is effectively the fifth tier of English football. and they were able to survive, and they've come all the way back, and they're not playing all that well, but they seem to be in most of their games, and they've got a very loyal following. So it'd be kind of a nice story to see them survive, and they're a great local rival for Southampton. They're about 35 miles apart, so it gives Southampton fans a little bit of a close derby as well.
Well, and to put it in terms that Packer Dave can understand, it's kind of like, in many ways, it's like his Green Bay Packers, that team's owned by the community. And it was like, it'd be like if all the people came together and had a little bake sale to save the Packers from extinction.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They did that, Steve, back in the, I think, the 40s, maybe even 50s. Yep. They had a guy follow to the stands, sued the team. They were going to possibly go under. And the fans raise the money. So that's happened already, Steve.
Yeah, and it's the same thing here in Canada. There's a Canadian Football League in Regina, Saskatchewan, that's called the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They're a community-owned team, and everybody in Saskatchewan follows the Green Riders the same way that everybody in Wisconsin would follow Dave's Packers.
All right. Well, John, always a pleasure. Good information. And we'll do it again next week. Our professor of sports. We're hoping for Toronto. It's great for the city.
It sure is, and it's a long time since we had any kind of a winner here, and we're a long ways from having a winner either with the Raptors or the Maple Leafs, so this is our opportunity. So great to join you guys again. My pleasure as always, and look forward to chatting next week.
All right, very good. John Poulter, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Now, let's move to fantasy football, and Steve has a discussion with fantasy football expert Mike Perlow.
All right, Mike, it's time to talk a little fantasy football. And what I would like you to do in the short time we have is, for starters, just explain to our audience, and I can't imagine anybody who's really into football who doesn't already know how this works, but for the uninitiated, like Packer Dave, tell him how the cash games work in the, and we're just going to stick to that, the FanDuel and the DraftKings.
Absolutely. It's a huge, huge undertaking this year. And basically how they work is this. You're choosing to place a bet, and it's a legal bet, by the way.
For now.
Yeah, for now, correct. I use FanDuel. There's also DraftKings out there. You place a bet anywhere from $1 upwards of a couple hundred bucks you can put down, and you've got cash games involved where you are going to either go into double ups, triple ups, or quintuple ups, where you can either double, triple, or quintuple your money.
All right, so in a double up, half the field roughly wins money, and a triple up, a third of the field will win money. So it's not unlike poker tournaments.
Correct. It's a lot like poker in terms of how it's set up. There's also the tournaments. Speaking of tournaments, where you have an opportunity to win really big money. So you pop down $25 and you have an opportunity to win $1 million.
And those you have to take a little more chances. So what we're going to do just for this exercise here this week is we're just going to stick to, let's say we're going to enter a fantasy game of in a tournament. Let's just pretend whatever it is, whether it's a double up or triple up. So in fantasy football, it's really about picking the right player and looking at matchups to see what player is going to exploit the other team's defense when it's offense. So let's just start right with quarterback. So who do you see as the top quarterbacks with fantasy value this week?
Well, I really like Andrew Luck this week, and I know he's struggled the first 3 weeks, but he's facing the Jaguars at home. Jaguars are the biggest underdog of the week. We've got an opportunity for Andrew Luck to really turn it around. He showed he's liking T.Y. Hilton with a team leading 7 targets last week. And he's going to be putting the ball up because really they're having a hard time running.
Okay, who are some other quarterbacks people might want to consider?
Other quarterbacks you want to look at, Cam Newton had a fantastic week. Last week he put up 2 touchdowns by arm and another by leg. 3 touchdowns is a great showing. Cam Newton doesn't have a lot of weapons in the running game, so he's going to be throwing it or using his own legs.
All right, got another one for us?
I sure do. Loving how Andy Dalton's been looking lately. Andy Dalton made A.J. Green the monster that he has been in the past once again. He put up 4 touchdowns, did Andy Dalton, all through the air, putting up over 300.
How much of your budget would you put into quarterback in any given week?
It really depends, Steve. You know, you want to take a look at value based on feedback. You want to look at value based on production and opportunity.
Okay. All right, let's jump to running back. Who do you like at running back this week?
I love Latavius Murray. I think Oakland will run all over the Bears this weekend, and Latavius Murray has shown he is going to be the centerpiece of that offense. He's a threat to go and take it to the house on any play. He's got top flight speed in the secondary, and he's showing ability to break through the front line.
Okay, give me a couple more.
Absolutely, absolutely. If you're going to look the stud route, you certainly can't go wrong with Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles. Both of them have great opportunity to see upwards of 25 to 30 touches over the course of the game.
All right. What about wide receiver?
Yeah. This is where I found myself going for studs more often than not. Loving how Julio Jones has looked. He's looked uncoverable, and Matt Ryan has eyes for him.
From Atlanta.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, A.J. Green, mentioned him earlier when I talked about Andy Dalton for Cincinnati. A.J. Green put up over 250 receiving yards last week along with two scores. Andy Dalton is playing catch with A.J. Green right now. He's looking fantastic. If you want a lower level, maybe a sleeper, somebody who's going to be more of a value play, I really, really like T.Y. Hilton. Now, he came into the season as a top flight receiver, but what we're seeing is that he's been not really putting up great numbers as of late, and I think a lot of people are going to forget about T.Y. Hilton, and I think Andrew Luck knows that he's his bread and butter at the end of the day.
All right, let's move on to tight end.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tight end. We talked about Cam Newton earlier, and I love Greg Olsen. Right now, there is nobody else that Cam Newton can throw the ball to. He lost his top two receivers. They're gone. His running game is a shambled mess. So he sees Greg Olsen in the middle of the field. Greg Olsen is catching anything thrown anywhere near him. Had a fantastic one-handed touchdown last Sunday. Amazing.
Okay, who else you like?
Let's see. You know, the obvious choice is Jimmy Graham this week. Jimmy Graham's been clamoring for the ball. He's making a stink. Seattle put all this money into his new contract, brought him away from the Saints. Russell Wilson's not looking his way. Jimmy Graham went public and said, hey, give me the ball.
Give me the damn ball.
Exactly. And guess what? He's going to get the ball this week. He's going to see a lot of targets. Targets are catches.
There's some value in tight end. What do you think about that?
I like Jordan Reed. Now, you're going to look at Washington and say, why would I touch Washington? Well, if you think about who Kirk Cousins is throwing the ball to and what Kirk Cousins' forte is, he can't throw the deep ball. So he's not hitting his long receivers. He's going across the middle. He's seeing his tight end, and his tight end has been catching the ball a lot lately.
Now, I'm not hearing any Broncos in that conversation. Does that make a good matchup this week?
You know,
they're hosting Minnesota.
Thank you for that. They can't run the ball right now. CJ Anderson, he's been one of the biggest busts thus far. He was a consensus first round draft pick. He's getting less than a yard a carry, and he's missing entire quarters. He's losing time to Ronnie Hillman. Certainly Peyton Manning, he knows how to find an open receiver. I love Demaryius Thomas. I love Emmanuel Sanders.
You like a lot of players.
I do. But when you play FanDuel, here's the thing. You can't choose all of them. You've got your studs. You know that you got to get a couple studs into that lineup. But you got to find those sleepers. You got to find those value plays who are going to get the opportunity, who are going to get the ball, see volume, right?
Give me an example.
An example. Last week, Devontae Freeman. He's the running back. He was the second string running back for Atlanta. First stringer, Tevin Coleman, doesn't play. He's out. Nobody has eyes on Devontae Freeman. As a matter of fact, he was in the $1 million lineup last week on FanDuel. That was because he saw every single running play that Atlanta ran, with the exceptions of the ones that Matt Ryan held onto the ball himself and scrambled for a few yards, because he's not the running quarterback typically. So every single rushing play went to Devontae Freeman. In addition to that, he caught five balls for another 35, 40 yards. He scored three touchdowns last week, and nobody had him anywhere near the tops of their minds. That's how you find that the diamond in the rough, And if those low guys, those third string receivers or that kicker or that defense or that tight end, if those guys hit, that's how you put the winning lineup in. And it's tough because you've got a lot of choices out there.
All right. Well, for the sake of time and expediency, we'll skip on kicker. I know that's part of the equation, but let's just move on to defenses, which is a cornerstone of the game. And, you know, what defenses look good to you? Who would you be picking this week?
Yeah, lately, who's looked fantastic has been Arizona. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, Arizona went up against the Bears. They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Well, keep in mind, in fantasy, you get those special team return points as well. So that was a defensive score right there. So you know they have people that can move the ball on the return game, which is key, and that really helps because you can't really predict when a turnover, an interception, or a fumble recovery is going to be able to get carried back to the house, right?
So in other words, the interception, it goes back to the five. Does it help you one bit other than count as an interception?
Yeah, you get 2 points for the interception, but it's 6 points if you get that score.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Absolutely. So blocked kicks, all of that comes into play. Block field goals returned for touchdowns, all special teams and all defensive scores, returns included, are all in your defense. So you want to look at those two phases of the NFL game, really, and see who has the good return game and who has the staunch defense that wreaks havoc up front, because that's how you're gonna upset the quarterback. You're going to have the quarterback flinch, give up the ball, either by fumble or by interception, or they'll get sacked. And those are all defensive points.
Well, that's great. Well, we'll keep tabs on how your picks did this week. We'll report it next week. And hopefully we'll have you on maybe on a more consistent basis. So thanks a lot for coming on board with us.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you.
Steve with Mike Perlow on Fantasy Football. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Catch us on iTunes, TuneIn.com, InternetFM.com, MileHighRadio.com, ZCom.com, and of course, the Packer Dave, actually, PackerDaveShow.com. That's an easy one. On demand, PackerDaveShow.com. Steve, mediocre job this week, but thanks for showing up.
How soon before we change the title of the show to the Packer Dave Report?
It could happen any week.
Well, listen, right. You know, go to Kmart or Walmart. You know, you can get all the squeaky toys you want. They're all stocking up for Christmas now.
All right, so for John Poulter, the professor of sports from Toronto, for Jeff Rich from Phoenix, for Dan Jiggets from Comcast Sports, and Steve Leventhal, I'm Packer Dave saying thank you for listening. Come back next week. Have a good week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get some bears, scumbag!
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
There's nothing more frustrating than finding that bucket of joint compound you need has dried up between jobs. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about a simple solution to prevent that problem right after this.
Severe storms and rolling blackouts can leave you and your family powerless. Take control and never feel powerless again with the Generac Automatic Backup Generator. It stands guard, ready to supply power to your home within seconds of a power outage. Generac generators start at just $1,899 and financing is available. Plus, for a limited time, when you schedule a free in-home assessment with a Generac dealer, you will receive a 5-year warranty, a $495 value, absolutely free. To learn more, call 1-800-941-5875 or visit poweryoucontrol.com.
If you've ever worked with drywall joint compound, spackle, or similar products, you know that they have a tendency to dry out between jobs. The resulting lumpy mess is practically useless, not to mention a waste of good money. So, here's a way to keep that from happening. First, use a putty knife to level the top of the material inside the container. Then add just a few drops of water on top of it. Next, cut a piece of kitchen plastic wrap to the size of the container and lay it on top of the compound or spackle before you seal up the container. The plastic wrap will catch the moisture evaporating from the joint compound and keep it from drying out, so it's ready for the next job.
I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.